having a baptism this morning. But more than that, I was give God glory that He has saved someone, which was very much more important than the baptism. The baptism is something you do in obedience, but God has saved someone that's among our fellowship. So maybe soon we'll get to have time to get the baptism done. I think we have a little ringing in the mics. I ain't sure. If you will, turn your hymnal to, yes, this is our song book from God, right? See, I'm from the Uptown Church. I didn't do a song book. I had my hymnal. Turn your Bibles, the Word of God, to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And when we read these things, I want you to also make a comparison to what He does to believers right here and right now. Because the Bible says, my Bible says, and you which were dead in trespasses and sin. So when we do this chapter here, I know this chapter is talking about Israel and what God's going to do with Israel, bring them back to life and bring them back as a nation, all to those who are Israel. There's still a comparison here of what God does to a lost sinner, someone who is dead in trespasses and sin, someone who has no power, no ability to do anything for themselves except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many, very many, in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them about above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the winds, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into a land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and my people and brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, and a stick for Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another, one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of And the children of the people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou now show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and put them with him, even the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the stick whereon that thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, therewith they are gone, and will gather them out of every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all, and shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided unto two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with the things their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. So we start back at the beginning of this thing. It says here, Ezekiel was praying. Ezekiel was somewhere getting along, meditating with God. And I like this part because in this thing here, it never says that I decided to do anything. Or when I was trying to do this, or when I was trying to do this, it says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me. The hand of the Lord came down where Ezekiel was. The hand of the Lord found Ezekiel where he was at. And he says, look, Ezekiel, you're my prophet. You're my preacher. You're the one that's supposed to be out telling these people about the thing. He says, Ezekiel, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit. He didn't sit there and decide he's going to go over here and look at this, or go over there and decide to look at that, or go over here and decide he's going to prophesy over this valley. God caused him. God brought him by the Spirit and puts him in this valley where he can see the things that's going on. He says, in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley full of bones. He set him down in the midst of a valley full of bones. And these bones, and he caused me to pass among them. He didn't just sit him there, but he caused him to go around, and he looked at this big valley, and this big valley is full of nothing but bones. And he says, and they are very dry. There's a good reason for very dry. It means they are graveyard dead, dried up, laid in the sun, bleached out. There's no moral, there's no moisture in them, there's nothing in them. There is not even the thought of life in them. All hope is gone. All possibility is gone. They are very dry. And that's the same thing it says in Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in trespasses and sin. These folks died in sin. These folks died. They were elect. They were called out of God. They died. They're dry, very dry because there's no spirit. There's no life in them there. It says, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And of course, from where we're standing, we say, right, yeah. But from where he was, he says, I believe in you, God. I trust in you, God. You knoweth God. You know if these things can happen. And he says, O Lord, thou knowest. I don't particularly know for sure. I'm trusting you. I know you can do all things. I know you can fix all things. I know you're able to save all things. I know you're bringing to life all things. But in myself, thou knowest. God, what you will do. Thou knowest how you're going to do this thing. Thou knowest how you're going to bring something about. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. It says, for in the Bible, it tells me to preach to every creature. You ever thought about that? Preach to every creature. Now, it does mean men, naturally. But I ought to be telling everything about Jesus. I ought to be glorifying God in front of everybody. Everything. Wherever I'm at, I'll be giving God glory. If you're out cutting the grass, you're the only one out there, and you're singing praises to God, who's listening? The trees, the grass, rabbit. There's a rabbit out there this morning. I seen him. But I'm telling you, preach to every creature. But it says here, again, he said to me, prophesy. You notice that God always seems to use men to do a work. Every one of us was called to do a work. God didn't say, I'm going to prophesy over these things, you watch me. No, God told Ezekiel, you prophesy. And he told Ezekiel, I want you to tell them this. I want you to tell them what I've got to tell you to tell them. So when the preacher comes, it's not me coming up with some new revelation or some other guy coming up with a new revelation. It's saying, thus saith the Lord, as he's already written it, as he's already said it, as he already put it. He says here, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. Prophesy unto these dead bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. O ye sinner, O ye lost person, O ye person who has no hope, O ye person who has no ability, O ye person who is dead in your trespasses, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. He didn't say, I'm waiting for you to do something. I'm waiting for you to do a thing to me and make me happy. I'm waiting for you to please me and then I'll do this. He says, I will cause breath to enter into you. I will cause salvation to come into you. I will cause life to go into you. You're dead. You were dead. Now, the problem is when you get alive, you're supposed to do some stuff. But while you're dead, the only thing you can do is wait for somebody to cause something to happen. You are dead. It says, and I will lay sinew. This never says, and when I cause life to come into you, now you can go ahead and put some skin back on you and some meat back on you and some fatness back on you. He says, I will cause sinew upon you. He says, I will lay sinew upon you. And I will bring up flesh upon you. And I will cover you with skin and put breath in you. There's nothing about these bones that could have done any of those things. They're scattered out. They're laid in this big valley, whether there was a war or whether there was a battle, or that's just where all the bones got piled up. Either way, bones get moved around. I'm going to tell you, you can put something out there, and by dark 30, some of the bones are over here, some of the bones are over there, because something comes along and moves them around. It says, so I prophesy obedience to the calling of God, obedience to preach the word. He said, so I prophesied. He didn't prophesy his own thing. He didn't prophesy his own message. But he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I taught as I was commanded. He says, I taught, preached of these bones as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, he says, as I prophesied, there was noise. All them bones started wiggling around the ground. All them bones started shaking. All them bones started wiggling and moving. And can you imagine a bunch of bones getting together? They're dry, sound like a bunch of stick. He said, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Not somebody else's bone to your bone, and somebody else's over here's bone to your bone, but his bone came to his bone. You won't, when you get resurrected, you're not going to have somebody else's arm, somebody else's leg. You're going to have all of your bones. You're going to have all of your flesh. You're going to be raised up in newness with all of your parts, regardless of what happened to you when you got dead. So I prophesied, and the noise and the bone came unto his bone. And then, and when I beheld, can you imagine looking at all this stuff happening? I'm sitting there and bones are coming from everywhere and joining up to everywhere and they're all turning into little old skeletons all over the place lined up and they're all coming together. There's a song about that stuff somewhere we sung back when we were little. It says, and when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them. I'm sitting here prophesying. He was sitting there prophesying over what's going on. And while he's watching it, all the bones start sliding together. And the next thing you know, he starts seeing meat becoming on these bones. And sinew on these bones. And then flesh on these bones. Wow. That is something that no man could ever lay eyes on and see happen. And he says, and skin came upon, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them. But they had was no breath in them. They still took another prophesy. He says, we're all still there. They're all put back together. But guess what? They're still all dead. They're still all dead. They have all their parts. They have all the flesh. They have all the stuff to be a person. but they're still dead. There's no breath in them. When he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Now he's prophesying unto the wind, the Holy Spirit of God, the four corners, the Spirit that comes from everywhere. He says, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. When you got saved, when I got saved, if you're ever going to be saved, sometime or another, God the Father says, call on the wind, call on the Holy Spirit, send them to that person, call that person out of darkness and cause them to be saved. He didn't come to beg you to come to the King. He didn't come to beg you to come live at the King's house. He brought His Spirit, and if you'll read Mephibosheth, He brought an army with Him. He didn't come to coax Mephibosheth out of the Lodabar. He came to get him out of Lodabar. And when He got me, and when He got you, if you're a believer, He came the same way. He apprehended you. He captured you. He got control of you. He said, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. He didn't have some of them stand up. He didn't have some of them come to life. He said there was an exceeding great army. When He prophesied, the flesh came upon the bones. When He prophesied, the breath came into them. And they stood up an exceeding great army. It doesn't say, and there was a few left on the ground. There wasn't none left. When He brought them all to life, He brought every single one of them to life. He brought all the elect to life. He will not lose one. When He prophesies over all those He's going to save, all those who have been before the foundation of the world, when He does what He's going to do, there won't be none still left undone. There won't be none still left to be saved. There won't be none still left that need to be born again. When He wraps this thing up, everyone who was supposed to be born again by the Spirit of God will have been born again. He won't miss a soul. I don't know who they all are. I don't know who needs to be saved. But I do know this. If He's after you, He will not leave you in the tree. He'll get you. Then He said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That means every single person who was ever an Israelite. Now, I know that in Romans chapter 9, it talks about all Israel is not Israel. He's not talking about everybody who was ever born in Israel. He's talking about these bones, these particular bones, are all the ones who truly were Israel, who truly were by promise, who truly were the seed of Abraham, who truly were the children according to promise. He says, this is the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. In other words, they need a Savior. They need salvation. They need some kind of help. It says, they've been divided up. If you remember the story of Israel, right after Solomon was Rehoboam, and Rehoboam made the people of the northern tribes mad, and they divided, and they turned into 10 tribes went this way, and 2 tribes stayed this way. So we had 2 groups of people in Israel. And he says here, take you a stick. And on this stick you write Judah and Benjamin and those folks that are right there. And on this stick you write the other 10 tribes of Israel down right here. And then you put these sticks together. And I want you to understand, when these 2 sticks got put together, they became one stick. There's going to be a day when God's going to pull all the tribes of Israel together. He's going to pull all the tribes of Israel into one place, and He's going to have one kingdom and one nation and one God and one king over them. He says, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I will open your graves. You remember when Jesus raised in Matthew, talking about, and the graves were open? I will open your graves. Same scenario here. God is going to open the graves, and He's going to pull out everyone who has been dead, everyone who has been waiting, everyone who has been there, and He's going to open up the graves and make new life out of every one of them. So I will open the graves and cause you. My Bible says cause. Yours does too, right? He didn't beg them to do nothing. He didn't plead with them to do something. He said, I will cause you. I will cause you to come up out of your graves. He puts life in them. He put life in us. When He saved you, when He saved me, He put the Spirit of God in you. He caused you to be a living spirit. You have a living spirit in you too, so you can do spiritual things. Up until the day you were saved, you did not have any way to do spiritual things. Everything you did was in the flesh or carnally or whatever you want to call it. There was no spiritualness in you. We obeyed the laws by carnal rule. But now we follow God with the Spirit. Because the Romans says, with my flesh, I follow after the law of sin. But with my mind, the Spirit towards God, of godliness. It says here, and shall put my Spirit. I skipped a verse. And ye shall know I am the Lord, even when I have opened your graves, O my people, and I brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my Spirit in you. I shall put my Spirit in you. That's what God said. There's a time when He's going to take all these dead bodies, all these folks, all these people that He's made alive, all this great army that's called Israel, and they ain't going to be a single one that's not a believer. Every single one. He says, I will put my Spirit in you. He's going to inoculate them. Impute.
Yeah.
That's what I look at it. Imputation is like taking a shot. He takes it and just shoots it right up into you. I shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live. If God has put His Spirit in you, you shall live. You shall never die. I mean, we may die here in this flesh, but we will never die twice. We may die once. We will not die twice. Put my Spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Now, these Israelites are going to get placed in Israel, in the promised land. We, as believers, when He does this for us, we get placed in heavenly places. We get placed in the heavenly kingdom. We have our own land too. We look for a land called Beulah. A land where everything's going to be good for us. And then He says, in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. When you got saved, when God placed His Spirit in you, when God turned your mind from wicked ways to godly ways, there was no doubt in your mind He's God. There's no doubt in your mind that He saved you. There's no doubt in your mind that He's the one that did this thing. Because if it was, you'd still be lost. If you had any doubts that God has done something, you'd still be lost. I may not be all I can be. I may not be all I'm supposed to be yet. But I do know one thing. God is God. And God has done a work in my life. And if you're saved, you can say the same thing. I may not be all I'm supposed to be, but I do know this one thing. God is God. Moreover, thou son of man, and He takes the sticks here in these next two things, but I'm going to skip on down to verse 21. Then he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they are begone, and will gather them unto every side and bring them into their own land. In other words, wherever one of these people is, He's going to go find them. He's going to go get them. He's going to bring every Israelite back into Israel. He's going to bring every single one of them where they're supposed to be at. And that's the same thing with the church. That's the same thing with the elect of God that He's going to call out to be in the church. Wherever you may be, Africa, South Africa, Romania, wherever you may be, He's going to find you, He's going to save you, and then He's going to bring you into your own land one day. First of all, he says here, bring you into your own land. He will find you wherever you go, whither ye be gone, and will gather you into every side and bring you into your own land, and I will make them one nation. I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into kingdoms any more at all. One day, all the little bodies of Christ, church here that believes in Jesus Christ, church that believes in God, I'm not talking about a universal thing here, but one day all the bodies, all the little churches who are churches of Jesus Christ, one day we're all going to be in one place worshiping and praising God around the throne, and we're all going to be of one mind. We're all going to be doing it the same way. So I don't know about those guys that got weird doings, but they're going to have to change, be like us. But what I'm saying is there's going to be a day when every single believer is going to be in one place glorifying God around the throne. We're going to have a heavenly home. We're going to worship around a heavenly throne. And we're going to worship the God that created all things and caused it all to happen. And here's getting to be a good part. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols. God, when He saves us, God, when He calls us out, God, when He puts His Spirit in us, He opens our eyes to the fact that some things are not what we ought to do anymore. He opens our minds to the fact that we don't worship idols, that we don't worship the sun and the moon and the stars and all those terrestrial things. We worship a Spirit. We hope in God in the Spirit of truth. We worship God as a real God, as the God, the Holy God, the Living God, and all these other things. We put those away because we understand when He has called us out. He said, neither shall they defile themselves anymore. You see, the Bible says you can't worship two masters. You can't have two masters. You must have one. You must believe in one. You can't. That's what got these Israelites at first in trouble again. Oh yeah, we got all our idols and we got all our trees. We go out to the groove. But on sometimes a year we go down to the tabernacle and make a few little sacrifices to keep God, the other God, happy. They had the God and many gods to go with Him. And that's what made God so mad at them. That's why God punished them and divided them all up like this. Because instead of worshiping the God when they had the opportunity, when they knew who He was, they chose their idols and their other things that they did. And they shall no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided. Neither idols, nor with their detestable things. That could be a whole line of stuff, but if we're worshiping God with anything that's not pure and holy and righteous and from the heart and the right mind, that would be a detestable thing. He says He's going to take that away from us. He's going to make sure there's going to be a day when we have no more detestable things. There's going to be a day when we have no more idols and stuff to draw us away. There's going to be a day when nothing will interfere with us worshiping God except in truth and in spirit. It says, I like this. The testimony says, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be My people. He says, I will find them. I will take these detestable things away from them. I will forgive their transgressions. I will clean them up. None of that was my work. None of that was in my ability. All I did was, when I realized what I was, I repented. I said, oh God, forgive me because I've been going in the wrong direction. I see the direction I need to be going. And I repented. And I turned to God. Here, these bones are dead. Here, these bones were brought to life. Here, these bones were caused by God to be an army, a great exceeding army. And He says, I will take care of their transgressions. I will take care of their idolatry. I will take care of their uncleanness. Jesus Christ took care of all that for us. Jesus Christ took care of everything that I've ever done wrong on that cross, as we discussed in Sunday school. On that cross, He became sin for me. On that cross, He became sin for you. On that cross, He took my place. He took it all. He says, neither shall they defile themselves anymore. When God gets a hold of us and turns us around, puts that new nature in there, He doesn't let you just keep going back to the old stuff over and over and over again. If you're going there, He has never saved you. If you're going there, He has never called you out of darkness. You're just playing religion or something like that. He says, if you're in some kind of sin, there's going to be a conscience problem going on. There's going to be a heart problem going on. You're going to feel out of fellowship with God because you need to repent and confess and get back right with God. Not to me or not somebody here, but with Him and you and God need to get together. It says, and I will save them out of all their dwelling places and out of all the places wherever they may be, where they have sinned, regardless of where you are when you were sinning, how you were when you were sinning, what places you, whatever your sin may have been. He says, and I will cleanse you. I guess I'm adding the word I or not. And will cleanse you, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. The eyes may not be wrote there in every place I said it, but that's what it means. God did it. God said it. God spoke it, and it happened. And all these things that's going on here, while God could have just, He made a man do the prophesying. If you remember Isaiah when he was up on the Mount Carmel, and it didn't rain, but when it didn't rain, if you read that carefully, it says God told Isaiah, He told Elijah, you go and pray that it don't rain. He made the first move on that not raining for 3.5 years. God says, here's what I want you to pray about. Here's what I want you to do about. And then He says, I went and did it, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. God never does anything that He hasn't made warning of or told about or talked about through His prophets. Even here, He says, here's what I'm going to do, but I'm not just going to do it in secret. I'm not just going to do it by magic. I want you to stand on in front of them, and I want you to prophesy. I want you to preach to them. And the same thing with being saved. That's not an in secret thing either. That's not just what... Somebody has to preach the gospel to you. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody has to preach that God saves sinners. Somebody has to preach that people are sinners and need saving. And that's why He saved us, so we could do the job of the preaching. Yeah. Even through these whole things. It says here, these bones were dry. They were very dry. And when I look back, I was very dry. Dry. But God, I like that but God there. That's a good but God right there. But God gave me life. But God showed mercy on me. But God put His Spirit upon me, causing me to believe, causing me to have faith, causing me to be a living person. God takes care of those things. And if there is any statement I could ever say, but God, man, wonderful thing. If God comes to your place today and says, but God. In fact, let's go to Ephesians real quick. I love this verse. Chapter 2. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And that, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If God has saved you, He did it all Himself. If God has caused you to believe, He has done it all Himself. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Same thing that happened to these dry bones back in Ezekiel. For God, who is rich in mercy, says, I have made a covenant with these people. I have made a promise with these people. And I will keep my word and I will bring them all back into one nation. And I will bring them all back into one place. That's coming. That's coming. We can see it, I think, 1948, Israel became a nation again. Anyways, and he says he's going to do all that in a lifetime. When you think about that, a lifetime, 40 years, 70 years, maybe 100 years. But if it's 100 years, 1948, we ain't got many more years for a lifetime to be taking place. We are very close to God bringing everything together. Oh, that we would all believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and come unto the Lord. All right. If God has saved you, or you have been saved this week and we don't know about it yet, surely you would want to come tell us. Because we got plenty of water. We can get you baptized right now. In fact, I mean, we're ready. I ain't got my clothes, but we'll still do it. But if you're saved, please tell us. This is your time of invitation. If you've been saved, God has done something in your life, let us know.